In the aftermath of the Taliban of Afghanistan and the Ba'athist regime of Saddam Hussein in Iraq, new governments must be formed, something that's also true for the Palestinians and other nascent nations. For the Bush administration, when it comes to writing a new constitution, there's only one kind of government possible, democratic. But democracy itself comes in several forms, each of which has their own advantages and disadvantages. Priscilla Huff examines the differences between America's presidential system of democracy and the parliamentary system with its foundation in Britain.
Therefore, the United States has adopted a new policy, a forward strategy of freedom in the Middle East. This strategy requires the same persistence and energy and idealism we have shown before, and it will yield the same results. As in Europe, as in Asia, as in every region of the world, the advance of freedom leads to peace.
In President George Bush's November 6, 2003 speech to the National Endowment for Democracy, he expressed his belief that there is only one political system for the 21st century.
In fact, the daily work of democracy itself is the path of progress. It teaches cooperation, the free exchange of ideas, peaceful resolution of differences. As men and women are showing from Bangladesh to Botswana to Mongolia, it is the practice of democracy that makes a nation ready for democracy. And every nation can start on this path.
That begs the question, how does a nation begin to practice democracy? Afghanistan started down that path after the Taliban was chased out of power in the early days of the war against terrorism. A traditional Afghan assembly, Aloya Jirga, was called. Delegates expressed their support for the concept of democracy. Mohammed Aman.
If you support the one which you would respect the Afghan people's right and the human rights and the democracy in our country.
And Nadia, a female delegate.
She said, I want somebody as our president or leader to be able to control Afghanistan and disarm all the military people and responsible and to respect all the rights of the people in Afghanistan, especially the women.
The model the Afghanis used to draft their constitution was based on the American system of democracy. Jawid Ludin, a spokesman for transitional President Hamid Karzai, told the Washington Post, the most important thing Afghanistan needs now is stability, the stability of a strong executive found in the American system, in contrast to what Ludin sees in the parliamentary system, which would require a strong tradition of democracy and strong political parties. Hamid Karzai expressed something similar during a May 2003 visit with Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld.
Afghanistan has gone through 30 years of anarchy, war, and instability. The consequence of that is the considerable weakening of the institutions that govern any state, not only Afghanistan, any state. The reason that Afghanistan is still there is because of the formidable nation that it has. What we have to give this nation are the institutions that will provide it with the administration that it needs.
Hamid Karzai sees American-style democracy bringing critical elements to Afghanistan. Mark Plattner is the editor of the Journal of Democracy, and he describes the American system.
What is considered a presidential system, where the president is directly elected by the people, is the chief executive officer, and the Congress is separately elected, and the tenure of the president is not in any way dependent on Congress, except for the very rare case of impeachment.
This contrasts with the British parliamentary system. Bob Pierce is the counselor in charge of political affairs at the British Embassy in Washington, D.C.
There is a connection between the executive and the legislature, which is different from the American system, in that you cannot be a minister, that is a cabinet secretary in American terms, in the British system unless you are an elected politician. So it's not just Tony Blair who's elected, but the Foreign Secretary, the equivalent of the Secretary of State, and all the other cabinet ministers are themselves members, elected members of the legislature, of Parliament. So when the Prime Minister forms a government, he has to use elected politicians as the ministers in his cabinet. He cannot bring people in from outside.
Mark Plattner says that being able to plan on a single administration being in power for a fixed period of time can bring stability. However,
with a presidential system, you have the problem that you can have a president who's elected for a four-year term, in some places as much as a six-year term, but totally loses the confidence of the electorate and of the legislature. There is the extreme remedy of impeachment if the president actually commits a crime, but otherwise, there's no legal way of getting rid of him when he loses the confidence of the legislature and the country. So a situation you've often had in Latin America, either you have a lame duck president who enjoys no credibility, but often you've had situations, recently we had it in Bolivia, we had it in Argentina not long ago, where the president is actually forced out of office before his term ends because he's no longer capable of governing.
The British Embassy's Bob Pierce says the executive being rooted in the legislature gives the parliamentary system an advantage in actually accomplishing goals, something a lame duck president may not be able to do.
This means that there is, I think, a much stronger executive in the United Kingdom than there is in the United States. The position of the executive vis-a-vis the legislature is a stronger one, because the members of the executive themselves come from the legislature. The way in which they became the government is because they had most seats. They were the party that had most seats in the legislature. So by definition, the executive has the votes in the legislature to get legislation passed.
There's no guarantee with an American system of democracy that the Congress will actually pass any individual bill. As a function of government, this might be seen as a problem, but Mark Plattner observes, for the individual citizen, the American system has its attractions.
One of the advantages that people often cite of the American system is that members of Congress are free to break with, even if it's a president of their own party, when it's very important to their districts that they vote a certain way. And it's also said then that the link between the representative and his constituents and the feeling that constituents have that they can go to their representative and make their voices heard is stronger in a presidential system.
In the parliamentary system, the prime minister is first elected by his district to parliament. Then the majority party selects who will form the government. This contrasts with the American system, where voters choose both their local representatives and elect the president as both head of state and government. Bob Pierce says how the central leader is chosen is a key question to consider.
Now, we have in the British system and in other parliamentary systems, the head of state and the head of government are separate things. Tony Blair is not the head of state, he's the head of government. The Queen is head of state. She has no executive function. She's a constitutional monarch, a symbolic, a ceremonial head of state. And I think any country looking at a new constitution might want to ask itself whether it wishes to have the head of state and head of government functions combined, or whether there's some advantage in having someone who personifies the country but doesn't actually run it. You know, there are strengths and weaknesses in both systems.
And Bob Plattner agrees, especially with the observation that democracy isn't the easiest path.
One thing you can say is that historically, in many cases, countries have tried to build democracy, failed, but tried again. And I think the statistics show that countries that have had a previous experience generally do better the second time around than ones that haven't. But of course, that's not the outcome that anyone hopes for, that whether Afghanistan or Iraq, we're going to have to go through a failed experiment to get the necessary experience to make it work.
As nations proceed down the path towards new governments and the prospect of democracy, Bob Pierce does have one concrete suggestion.
Go for quick election campaigns. One of the things about the British system that I would certainly recommend over the American system is that when we call an election campaign, we've got 6 weeks to get it done. So we do not have a perpetual election atmosphere, and it's also much cheaper that way.
For Common Ground, I'm Priscilla Huff.